Welcome to the Blueprint Pros Podcast, a show to educate small business owners on the secrets to growing your business by landing big contracts with the Fortune 500 companies. And now, please welcome your host, the ultimate insider, Randall Dobbins.
Well, what's going on, Ascent Nation, and welcome back. My name is Brian. I'll be your host. If this is your first time joining us, I have a special guest joining me today, Mr. Randall Dobbins. And what we're going to dive into today is talking about mindset and what we're calling an ascent mindset, meaning moving up, pushing forward, and really focusing in on the key components of how do you cultivate that. Once you've started to groom and grow it, what are the things that you have to do to continue to stay focused, to remain resilient, and keep pushing forward? Because as we all know, life is definitely going to throw some challenges, and there are going to be some left turns and some right turns that you might not have ever seen coming. But you got to figure out how to navigate those things. And that's really what we want to dive into today. So, Randall, welcome. How are you doing today, sir?
So wonderful. I can't stand myself, or more precisely, I'm just grateful to be here today, sir.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. So let's dive into this. I think this is an important topic. You know, it's funny, we were talking kind of in the green room, if you want to call it that, before we started here about just the natural challenges of life and how sometimes you find yourself in these spaces and places where it really can be challenging from trying to stay optimistic, trying to remain positive, et cetera, especially with mindset. But where I want to start is just with that one word itself, mindset. It's kind of become so marketable from a cliche. Everybody's talking about mindset, mindset, mindset. So let's start there. And from our chairs and our perspectives and our experiences, let me hear your definition, what you think mindset really is all about and why it's relevant.
Thoughts and beliefs. It's interesting because I've done a decent amount of work in this to try and understand what's going on. And when you start talking about thoughts and beliefs, another way to talk about it, the way we talk about it today, is your story. All right. If you evolve that, your truth. Okay. And when you start coming at this, you start saying we all have had a set of experiences that brings us to this point that shapes our view of the world, of people, of bosses, of children, of folks we really care about and folks that, you know, we wish we cared about. And so when you start saying mindset, it really and truly, in my opinion, boils down to thoughts and beliefs as have come to become a part of the way you see the world at the present moment.
You know, that's a great definition of it, because thoughts and beliefs are kind of the root of it all, right? Because if you think about it from a foundational standpoint, right, you've got to start with that and then build up. So I think mindset is very important, because it just had this experience the other day. I was talking to a friend who recently had to relocate for work. They got a great promotion, but it's really been challenging for them. They were living in the Bay Area. They'd been there for years, got an opportunity to take a promotion to LaGuardia. So completely all the way on the East Coast, a whole different mindset, living in Brooklyn. I mean, everything just literally shifts overnight when you do that. So trying to maintain twofold. One is that lifestyle that you used to, because that's now changed, because, you know, did it get a little chilly in Oakland? Yeah. But did you have 6 feet of snow? No. Right. So what you have to deal with, just shifting that, and, you know, they own the convertible. And I'm like, I got to get rid of my convertible because, you know, I don't need it here. You know, so everything in their life is literally evolving. And I think the biggest challenge they're facing is their personality is naturally one of those good morning, smiling, that energy effervescent type person. And where they are now, literally people are telling them, you better get out of here with that. You know, I mean, literally saying it to them, you know, so it's like a slap in the face. So just trying to, I guess, reevaluate and reassess who you are, and then almost have to shift and change your personality and all of that. So it's interesting dynamics how life will do that to you. But through all of that, there is still a mindset that I think you have to try to maintain for yourself, because losing your identity is the one of the worst things that could happen. So I do think there is a piece of mindset that is tied to identity, but then that goes back to what you were saying. Your identity is obviously based on your thoughts, your experiences, and your beliefs, right? So that's all part of that package.
It's a challenge when you honor who and what you are versus what we're socialized to do, starting, you know, with kindergarten, where you need to fit in. And the example you just said, here's someone that might have felt wonderful about themselves, but they're in an environment where that's not encouraged. You need to get out of here with that, because we don't need you coming in telling everybody how good. It's like, you feel good about yourself, keep that to yourself. And people struggle with that. I mean, as a society, we struggle with it because we've got these norms of accepted behavior that, you know, play out anywhere on the globe. It's like, you know, we're not encouraged to be individuals. We're encouraged to be part of a collective with group think and group behavior.
Yeah, we are absolutely encouraged to do that.
We tell people we value uniqueness.
That's a whole other podcast. We're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. We'll go down that road another day. But yes, you're absolutely right. So that said, then I want to kind of talk about this piece of it that I think we can struggle with. I think our listeners will definitely benefit from talking about being optimistic or having optimism, and what the differences are and how that plays optimism versus pessimism, and why that's really relevant, I think, from cultivating a stronger mindset.
Optimism is deemed to be good. Pessimism is deemed to be bad. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so in some of the work that I do, we look at people's natural charge. Some people have what we call a positive polarity, and nature put this into them, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And their positive polarity, these are the people who see what's working first. They are generally deemed to be optimists, but they really aren't. They just see what's working first. And then we have people who see what's not working first. And they're generally deemed to be, you know, they have a negative charge. And once again, positive and negative is not good or bad. It's, this is what nature poured into you. This is how you view the world. And so if you tend to see what's not working first, you're deemed a negative or a pessimist. And it's like, no, you just have a predisposed ability to see what's not working. Right. Now, if you throw judgment in there, that's an altogether different conversation again. And so where I've landed is, you know, recognizing that people have a certain charge that nature put into it. And there's the one in the middle where if you're neutrally charged, you tend to see both simultaneously. You'll eventually land on which side or the other, but people look at you as being indifferent, as not being a decision maker, because you can see them both at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I give all that as backdrop to say that from where I'm coming from right now, if we're talking about abundance, we're talking about an ascent mindset, we're talking about attracting more of what you want into your life and having less of what you don't want, where does that really fall? And where I'm landing right now, I'm transitioning from optimism to pessimism to gratitude. Mm-hmm. It's like gratitude now, I believe, is the gateway to abundance. All right. And for our listeners, I'm going to go off on the deep end a little bit here. And trust me that this is not junk science or mysticism. There's a lot of actual neurological science to support this. And we might have to cover that in another conversation. But the issue when it comes to when we start talking about the law of attraction – And, you know, we can take that to like the prayer of Jabez for our faith folks, where you're saying, you know, I want more abundance. All right. Enlarge my territory was the prayer of Jabez. We can talk about Old or New Testament, where you say, when you pray and you believe, you know, it shall be done. And a lot of us have prayed and a lot of us thought we believed, but it wasn't done. Okay. So you know, the issue becomes what happened? What happened there? And what I am beginning to really understand, appreciate, and embrace is what happened was this lack of gratitude. And how this gratitude piece actually begins to affect mindset. And I'll give you an example. You know how when we start languaging just differently, because we're using the word optimism, you start languaging a little you know, it's one thing to say, I hope, you know, tomorrow is better than today. All right. That's optimism, right? Okay. But then you say, well, I hope to get out of debt. And it's like, well, hold on, wait a minute. That's optimism as well. But if I say I hope to get out of debt and not have debt for the rest of my life, then what I'm really saying under the category of words have meaning is that debt's going to be a part of my life. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe what I really want is to have so much financial freedom and independence that I'm unconcerned about day-to-day expenses. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yep. And so now when I start reframing and rethinking that whole process, I come back and it's like, okay, well, if that's what I'm committing to the universe, if that's what I want, and if gratitude's the gateway to that, then maybe today I might need to do something as simple as, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be on the Ascent platform to share this with everybody. You know, I didn't know this time last year that this opportunity was going to be in front of me. I didn't know that you were going to take this mission to put this kind of information out to everybody. And it's like, oh my goodness, I'm lucky. I'm blessed. It was fortuitous. You can say whatever you want to say to be here to even talk about this today. And I can start there and having that as my mindset going forward actually creates pathways in my brain to attract more of it.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that in the inner conversation, right? Or the words, because as you said, words have power. And I think that was a great example you gave of just talking about, I hope to get out of debt versus I am going to become financially free, which essentially, you're saying the same thing from a goal or an objective standpoint, but how you're framing that is, I think, such a powerful tool. And that's one of the things that I really wanted to talk about today. And you also use the word reframing. And I also think that that's something that we want to kind of dive a little bit deeper, because I think that is a skill that people really need to start to use in their day-to-day lives as they're trying to evolve and work their way through the challenges of life. Because as you said, this platform 2 years ago, you didn't know you were going to be doing this, right? Well, life is like that too. So you do have to adapt and adjust based on current circumstance. Yes, you had a plan. Yes, you're working that plan. Yes, you're being grateful and thoughtful about as you move forward. But there's a left turn, there's a right turn, there's a new career challenge, there's a moving from the Bay Area to New York, whatever it might be. So in that, you might have to take some time to actually reframe and reshape what your goals are, what your objectives are, what you are grateful and have gratitude for. So actually finding the time to do that, I think, is of great value. What types of tools do you use? A journal? What do you do to try to reframe your thoughts when you do get into those spaces and those places?
I'm going to answer that, but let me back up for just 1 second.
Okay.
Because you touched on it, but I think our listeners will want a little bit of framework for this.
Okay.
When we talk about words have power, one of the things that we're saying, when you create neural pathways, they are permanent. So it isn't so much that you ever unteach your mind. The issue is, do you train it in a way that brings you more abundance, that provides for the mindset that you want? And so one of the things you have to do is not so much focus on unlearning anything as it is creating new pathways that overwhelm the pathways that aren't serving you. So when we start talking about what are some of the specific tricks and tips that you can use to start doing this kind of work, once again, gratitude, things like keeping a gratitude journal is helpful. There's something as simple as looking at some of the people that are important to your life, perhaps even some of the ones that you have some challenges with, and start saying, what do I actually appreciate or what am I grateful for in this person? You know, some of you may be in some difficult relationships with your children, your spouses, and this, that, and the other. And those relationships probably weren't always that way. It's like when these first people first came into your life and they were magical, what was it about them that made them special? And can you still have some gratitude for that? Now, what that does is that creates new pathways in your brain to have a different experience, a different interaction, a different back and forth with them, because you see them from the position of gratitude. And because you made that shift, you start attracting more of that into your life. You know, we were talking about this earlier where we said, when you start looking at your life right now, you now have a reality based on some choices and decisions you made in the past. So if you're not happy with what's going on in your life, it's a result of some choices and decisions that you made. And if you continue to say things like, I'm unhappy with my finances, I'm unhappy with my romance, I'm unhappy with my job situation, I'm unhappy with all this, what you're communicating to the world is unhappiness. And the more you communicate that, the more that comes into your life. That's what you're attracting. Those are the words you're using. That's what you're communicating. So when you change that, you know, as we were saying, with things like a gratitude journal or just a list of things or just a meditation in the morning where you start talking about, you know, a handful of things that you're grateful for. When you take any situation, you know, it's kind of like you can have a near miss accident and you can be grateful for the fact that, you know, the accident didn't occur, that you had the wherewithal, that your vehicle responded, that a whole host of things happened so that you weren't, that the accident didn't occur. You know, you have all these moments in any given day for gratitude at any given time. You just have to start telling yourself, that's what I'm choosing to accept as my new reality, is the gratitude for every situation. Does that kind of address the question, give us a little backdrop there?
I think that's a key component. That's that whole law of attraction type thing. And we hear a lot of talk about that. And it is true. And again, it is about framing, reframing how you, that little person on your shoulder and what they're whispering in your ear, that self-talk piece. All of that's relevant, right, to having a positive mindset. And what we really want to get to, and my true focus, is not just to have a positive, I want to have a powerful mindset. You know, that's the ultimate goal, to want to get to the peak of that level of performance where your mindset literally is a driving force for you. Because that's when I think you're going to get the greatest benefit out of having that type of mindset and pushing yourself to be in that particular way. So I think that there are a couple of things that you really have to, A, figure out for yourself what they truly mean for you, A, because it's an individual thing too, and that's the other part of it, which makes this such a tricky thing to nail down, because we all have unique experiences in life. We're all on our own journey. We can see the same. We can literally sit here, watch something happen, and both describe it and totally describe something totally different based on our own perceptions and how we see life. But here's the three things. We talked about optimism already. So that's one of the three. The other is focus. I think focus is a key component to this. And then the other is being realistic, right? Truly being realistic. So not pie in the sky and, you know, I want $1 million. Well, yes, that's nice, but to what end? Is it just to have the million? Because a lot of the times, you what can drive you from a mindset standpoint is what is the purpose of the goal? Not what is the goal, but what is the purpose of the goal? So let's talk a little bit about that from your chair and to drive us to have a powerful mindset, especially around focus and obviously being realistic about what you're trying to accomplish.
I think you put your finger on a number of key things. Having a purpose, having a mission, having a focus, there's nothing like that clarity of, you know, purpose to focus the brain and to communicate to the universe what you want. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing, the law of attraction. And then we talk about the law of abundance. Interestingly enough, with the law of abundance, it does not recognize a finite set of resources.
Correct.
All right. The law of abundance says that when you really and truly step into abundance, there's enough for everybody to do pretty much everything. But most people don't really step into the law of abundance, okay? Because in our society, we've rationed, starting off with grade school, you know, X number of kids got A's, you know, the whole bell curve. All right. X got B's. Hey, there's only so many women. You got to pick one. We may have to edit that out. But nonetheless. Yep. You know, we're all kind of taught that the law of abundance means there's a finite amount of anything that I can have. All right. Let me rephrase it. Not the law of abundance. The common perception is that. But when you start getting into gratitude and the law of attraction and the law of abundance, it's like, actually, there's no limits. So now we get into this whole notion, you know, because we talked about this earlier, you know, when you pray and you believe, it shall be done. Let's get back to what does it mean to believe? Because I got the prayer part done, and I know the it shall be done part. It's that middle part, all right? And so when you start looking at folks who have achieved unimaginable things, okay, they, on the one hand, were very realistic about what they wanted to accomplish next, but their goals weren't bounded.
Mm.
All right. And they were open for how much ever abundance came in. Let's take Elon Musk, for example. When he said he wanted to have a spacecraft to land on asteroids. Okay. Most people would look at that and go, you know, that's crazy. But all of a sudden, more money that he could count came in to support that project because his purpose was to do that, to identify precious minerals and things that we didn't particularly have on this planet that could aid and benefit mankind.
Correct.
I mean, it's like that purpose, that vision, and the abundance that came to support that was like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this, you know, we think about We Are the World. All right. Somebody probably could have wrote a check for that, but that mission was so big, the more money showed up than they actually knew how to get out the door. So we've seen when the mission, the vision, the purpose is big enough. So, you know, we as individuals, it's like, okay, what do we really want? I mean, for me, the issue is supporting women and minority business owners to create legacy businesses that spin out generational wealth so that they can make an impact in the causes that matter to them. Okay. How I get there. What are the reasonable goals and expectations that I use to get to that milestone? But I mean, just reframing that way, as opposed to, you know, my business needs to generate this amount of revenue per month. I mean, just the shift was huge. And so on the one hand, I have this practical aspect of what makes sense, but I can set a goal that allows for so much abundance and prosperity. And now with my gratitude mindset, I'm beginning to attract whatever. And the cool thing is, when more comes in than I'm planned for, then the law of abundance is going to send the resources I need to help achieve the purpose and the goal.
The fascinating thing about that is that's that stage of goal setting, if you want to use that term, where you have realized that it's not about you. That what's going to get you to the goal, the purpose, is not about you. It's about helping, giving, providing, sharing in other ways. It's not about you, but it will help lead you towards where you'd like to get to. And that's the mind shift that needs to happen with that whole piece of it. Yeah. So we're going to stay on mindset, but I want to jump to the opposite side of it, because this is another thing that I think is out there a lot, and it is very relevant, and it is scarcity mindset. So let's talk a little bit about that and why that's important from a scarcity mindset, and understanding that when you are making choices, when you're making decisions, how having a scarcity mindset can truly have some pretty bad impacts on that. But you have to, A, be able to identify that's where you're coming from. So let's talk a little bit about scarcity mindset.
The scarcity mindset, I would say, is the enemy of the law of attraction. But I want to crystallize the scarcity mindset, because some of our listeners may not really fully appreciate that that's where they are. Okay. Scarcity mindset operates on so many different levels. A scarcity mindset can start with something as impactful as I'm not lovable. I don't love myself. And so an abusive relationship is just something I have to endure. My parents didn't love me. And so rather than try and go out and find a positive relationship, I'm just going to be a loner and live by myself. A scarcity mindset can show up as, I'm never going to get promoted. I'll never have a job better than this. And so I'll just grin and bear it. If I'm fortunate enough to get a gold watch, bide my time until it's over. A scarcity mindset is, I can't do better than what I'm doing right now, so I'm just going to tough it out. Mm-hmm. A scarcity mindset is, my business will never be XYZ. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can take that whole scarcity mindset and you can start seeing how it plays out in people's lives day in, day out, because it disguises itself as victimhood.
Yes.
It disguises itself as blaming and shaming. You you wouldn't believe how bad a day I had today. Customers and my boss were giving me grief like there was no tomorrow. All of these other, and that's not to say these things don't happen. It's to say that the scarcity mindset is at play in so many different ways. And oh, by the way, once again, we're talking about the law of attraction. That's what you're attracting into your life.
100%.
Okay. And so the scarcity mindset, when we start talking about the law of attraction and abundance, you is the enemy to your happiness. It's the enemy to your freedom. It's the enemy to you being, as you started off with in your introduction, the best possible version of all the gifts and talents that were poured into you for you to, contribute to the world, even if it's selfish. Even if you just want the money, even if you just want whatever comes with that, all right, which is okay. All right. But the scarcity mindset is the enemy to what you want to achieve in life. And there's an element of it that's programmed in all of us. Whether we understand or not, we have systems that taught us this, that normalized it. We start talking about amongst us Black folks, the talented 10th. It's like, no, there's no such thing as a talented 10th. Okay, there's the talent of 100. Now, you either are going to believe that that's reality for you and you're going to start doing the work to get there. And when you get it right, it doesn't become work anymore. Right? And like we started talking about, what is the shift? What do you start believing? What do you start telling yourself? What becomes your thoughts and beliefs that actually allows your reality to be exactly what you dreamed it could be?
Yeah, 100%. So you touched on a couple of things. I want to go back to you. You mentioned in there talking about, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. My parents didn't love me, et cetera. So what I want to throw back on that piece of it, because I think this is very important, is, and I made a quick note to myself, the way I want it is the framework that I want to use with that. Because your parents might have loved you, but maybe they didn't show it or express it in the way that you wanted it or the way you could see it, but it was there. So sometimes we need to get those blinders off and actually give them a little bit more of a broader breath to say, all right, yeah, I did have some of this, and they did show me other things in this way. And again, this goes back to gratitude and appreciation, right? Appreciate that they gave you that piece and stop hammering so hard on the piece that you didn't get, right? Because I'm not going to say there's never situations where it's all bad, but there are probably good pieces woven into that tapestry somewhere. But the key is we've got to get out of our own way from a mindset standpoint to be open to receive and see and be grateful and be thankful for the good pieces that were woven in throughout that journey. So I think that's a key part that you hit on. I wanted to go back and hit that. The other thing was about this. You were talking about just how the mind works, right? And how we have these different triggers and different things that are within us naturally. The brain's primary job is to keep you safe. It is going to operate. That is the operating system of the brain. That's what it does. It's going to evaluate, take in information, take in the data, and then make a decision that is supposed to keep you safe. Now, we all know that comfort zone, many other things, are not necessarily, because that's what we saw, comfort zone, that's what place things go there to die, right? In the comfort zone, you've got to get out of your comfort zone to truly start to experience life, to explore, to expand yourself, your mind, your thought, your spirit, and all of those different things. But your brain is going to always tell you 100% the opposite of that. So this is why we talk about mindset being so important, is because that is the thing that's pushing back against that brain software and naturally saying, keep you safe. That's my job. I'm going to keep you safe. And it's in your ear. And that's what you hear. That's that tape that's going to play. So I think that's a valuable piece. What have you done, or what has been your experience with, you know, just that tape playing and really technically kind of fighting back against the brain doing the job that it's supposed to do?
I'll tell you an interesting story. Because when we talk about the brain for our audience, I do want to separate between two things: your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. Okay. And in Cliff Note version, you know, you don't tell your heart to beat and your lungs to breathe. Your unconscious mind does 99% of things without you actually knowing what's going on. Mm-hmm. Some of our listeners may not believe this, but your unconscious mind has a 100% accurate record of everything that ever happened to you in your life. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your conscious mind may not be able to recall it. Your conscious mind might wrap some stuff around it that may or may not have been there. Okay. The thing that was interesting to me is one of the things I teach is excellence, but my coach was asking me, where did this come from? And I said, well, it came from, when you start talking about people like Michael Jordan and Tom Brady, for us sports fans out there, you know, Michael Jordan was naturally talented. Everybody knew he was going to be great. Tom Brady, nobody thought he was going to be much of anything. All right. And so I tell my students, I want them to have a Tom Brady career, because what you understand about Tom Brady was that, you know, it's not definitional that we're all going to be great, but he mastered his craft. He learned what he needed to learn. He became a field general. He was able to repeat his success. All right. Unlike Patrick Mahomes and unlike Michael Jordan, it's like, you know, that might not be your situation. And so my coach was asking me, well, okay, how did I become to zero in on that? And I told him about, you know, Arthur Ashe and tennis. And he said, well, why was Arthur Ashe a big deal? I said, because my brother and I started playing tennis. And you know, I started modeling my game after that, and I was able to beat my brother. He says, well, it was important for you to beat your brother. I said, because I can't beat my brother much of anything. Tennis was the only thing that I could beat him at. And he goes, well, why was it important for you to beat your brother? I said, because when we were small, my brother was bigger than me. He used to sit on my chest, put his knees on my shoulders, and he would smack me in the face just to play because he could do that.
Because he could do it, yeah.
And so the coach says, well, how did that make you feel? I said, well, it made me feel helpless. And he said, well, when you felt helpless, what did you used to do? I said, I yell out to mom. He goes, well, what did mom do? She would say, you know, get off your brother. And in that moment, Brian, because I was able to give my unconscious mind permission to my conscious mind to examine that whole history going back to a young age, right? That I was unable to unlock, that one of the keys to success in my career, having an A-type personality and needing to know everything about something, was knowledge and education was my defense from bullying.
Okay.
And that has always been my approach. It was important to me. So when I look at Tom Brady and I look at the mastery of his craft, that resonated with me because I know, and you know this, that when you are a subject matter expert, when you're a domain expert, that when you are adding value to any type of scenario, whether it's a corporate supply chain, whether it's a consumer business or whatnot, that expertise, that subject matter expertise, that knowledge is what can differentiate you. But I came from it initially as a way to protect myself. Exactly what you said. The brain is there to protect me. And now I'm untethered to that. I don't necessarily see this as protection at this point in my life. So I have a much healthier relationship with my operating system. I was able to go back to trauma, even though it was playful trauma. Okay. And it was well-meaning. All right. But I can see how it played out in my life. And I've been doing the work to untether from a lot of those things, you know, some of them that didn't serve me, some of them that served me. But I can start, when we start talking about thoughts and beliefs, I can draw a linear path from going through that as a child to my adulthood, where I saw everything from the lens of how do I protect myself by amassing information.
Interesting.
That was the way it played out for me. Right. And what I would suggest is that probably plays out for most all of us, especially if we can begin to recognize what those key seminal events were when we were younger, and we can examine whether or not it still serves us. Because if we talk about people with childhood trauma, where we start saying, what did we learn from that? It's like, well, wait a minute. I learned this from that situation, but the causal factors then are not the causal factors now.
100%, yeah.
And if I can create that space just to have that acknowledgement and that awareness, then I also create the opportunity to make different choices and not necessarily perpetuate scarcity, victimhood, be defensive, see things that may or may not be present, like racism, sexism. I'm not saying these things don't exist. I'm saying that you may have thoughts and beliefs that put them there when they aren't necessarily. One of the things in my community is there's this prevailing assumption that women and minorities can't get these contracts because they're women and minorities. And I would say 30 years ago, that was probably true. I said today, that may be a part of the reason 30% of the time. But right now, it's more about what you know and can it drive green. It's less about black, white, male, female. It's like, can you drive green? You either can or you can't. You either have a demonstrated ability to do it or you don't. You either have the competencies and the skill sets or you don't. And it's easier to measure you trying to get in the door versus somebody who's already in the door.
Absolutely. Right?
Absolutely. And so you can't necessarily assume that, you know, you aren't in the door because of the way you look. Like, no. So, and it's like, why does that mindset, you know, why do people believe that's the reason?
Yep. You know, it's funny you bring that up because I want to stay in that swim lane for a second. One of I think it's a great movie. I think they did a really good job. And that's 42 when they're talking about Jackie Robinson.
Yes. Excellent.
Mr. Ricky and that has this moment where everybody's saying, oh, man, you've lost your mind. What do you mean you're going to bring a black player to the major leagues? And he's in this moment explaining his logic. And it's very basic logic. He says the black community likes baseball. The black community has money. Baseball is not black or white. Dollars are green, right? And that's what he realized in that moment, that he wanted to put the best possible product on the field, regardless of color, because that equated to green dollars. And that's exactly what you're saying about these corporate contracts. And that, but that's a mindset, right? He got his mind to that place of getting past the fear and what being judged and all of the things that we just talked about. That is a powerful mindset. That takes courage. It takes conviction. And obviously the thoughts and self-belief and all of that are all rooted in that. But the other piece of the last thing I want to touch on from that story is people asked him, you know, after the success of it, well, why did you do it? He says, because I love baseball, right? So it wasn't about him, as we talked about earlier. It was the fact that he loved baseball, and he, in his mind, the vision, this was going to be the best thing for the game he loved, was to integrate it. So very interesting history with that, and just how something obviously that happened decades ago is still relevant today, and all about framing it and how you use it. And that's what we're talking about, is getting your mindset to be in a ascent mode where there are no limitations, as we mentioned a moment ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're at that point now. What I want to do, what I call it a final thought. So I'll share mine first, and I'll let you close it out for us, Randall, with just your final thought of what you'd like our audience to take away with them today, talking about developing this powerful ascent-based mindset. And for me, I wrote down a little quote here, and I said, your attitude will determine your altitude. And that's a saying that's been out there for a long time. So I do think that it's relevant, because your mindset is directly related to attitude, because the attitude piece of it is what others actually see. The mindset is what's happening between the 6 inches of your ears right here. Right. And that's what you need to strengthen, fortify, and make powerful. But how that's displayed to the world, how you go about putting it out and moving, making decisions and choices day to day, that's the attitude that you want to bring to the table. And as long as you can start to, I think, marry those two together and then push it out to the world in a positive, I'm moving forward, I'm getting out of my comfort zone, and all of these other pieces and parts that it takes to get it done. Your altitude, whatever that looks like for you. And that's the beauty of it, is we all have different goals and objectives in life, but there are no limitations. That is the other piece that you definitely want to wrap your head around. Get the right attitude. The altitude can be wherever, however, whenever you want it to be. And so that's my thing that I want to leave everybody with, is to really start to focus in on that. Truly believe in that. Get away from all that scarcity and stuff and everything else. I'm not saying it can happen overnight. It may take some time, but is it doable? 100%. Yes, you can. Randall, what's your final thoughts for today?
I'm going to go with Gigi. Gratitude is great.
All right.
And if you recall, I mentioned, you know, gratitude is the gateway to abundance. And we mentioned that the way we've been programmed, whether somebody programmed in us or whether we programmed ourselves, is everything in life, you know, anything worth having is worth working hard for. Mm-hmm. you have to spend your time in the trenches. You know, you always have to go that extra mile. For some of us, we've always had to work harder than everybody else. All of that is programming, in to my mind, that is steeped in the struggle. Okay. And what I would recommend, along with exactly what you said, if we start saying gratitude is great, then anytime you have a challenge, approach it from gratitude.
Mm.
Okay? I don't care what the challenge is. Train yourself to be grateful for the fact that you are there in the moment, able to deal with it, and you know beyond a doubt, because we all have lived this, that in the next moment, things can dramatically be different. We all know this. It's been our life experience. Anybody listening to us right now knows this. We just forget about it, because oftentimes we spend quite a bit of time in the problem, okay? And so with gratitude, when you start shifting, then what you're doing now is telling yourself that my new reality is abundance that comes from being grateful that I get to do what I'm doing right now at this time in my life. And that I don't want to do, I'm going to be grateful for that I want to do so that I can attract more of it.
1,000%, sir. Yes, absolutely. Well said. Well said. Well, audience, I think we left a lot of golden nuggets out there today. Just a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience that we've gone through. And again, the different things that both Rounds and I teach and coach and mentor others on. So we wanted to share that with you today and start to move you in that direction of having a truly powerful mindset, because it is, again, a limitless thing that can move you in any direction, put you in any place, in any situation that you like to move to. So make that happen. Randall, thank you for this. I really appreciate it. It's been a joy, as always. And the wisdom that you share is always of great value. For our audience out there, get out, enjoy the rest of your weekend. As I always say, take care, and take care of each other. And until next time, we'll see you soon. Bye now.
You have been listening to the Blueprint Pros Podcast with Randall Dobbins, the ultimate corporate contracts insider. For more information on our training and programs, please visit training.businesspartnerblueprint.com. And please, if you like this show, subscribe now to this channel to be notified of new episodes. And of course, please tell your friends and colleagues about us. We look forward to sharing more with you on our next episode. Thank you for joining us today. Goodbye for now.